fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. We're here again today with our guest, Billy Kangas. Billy's a co-founder of a wonderful, inspiring organization in the life of the church called Cultivate. He was with us yesterday to begin to share his own story about following the Lord and what the Lord has shown him. He's got a lot more to share. Hopefully, we can have him for a few more days while he's here. But if you didn't have a chance to tune into yesterday's program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them into whatever apparatus or device you have that works for you to listen to at your leisure. But welcome back, Billy.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about what is Cultivate.
So Cultivate is a coffee shop and a tap house in Ypsilanti, Michigan, which is dedicated to one of the corporate works of mercy, feeding the hungry. So we're a nonprofit, and all of our proceeds go to this cause. We work with local partners, national partners, and international partners to raise funds, raise awareness, and to address the root causes of hunger in our world. And we do that by serving delicious coffee and some of the best beers you've ever had. So we do that every day, and that's where a lot of my time these days is going.
Okay, so it's actually like it's a brew pub coffee, or is that what it's like? Do you bring in beers from, do people donate beers for you guys or donate coffee? Or how does it all work? Do you guys brew it yourself or what do you do?
We don't brew.
Okay.
No one donates it. We purchase it as a business. We're a functional business, basically,
okay,
but with an interesting nonprofit model, which we could get into at some point if you ever wanted to. But yeah, we function as a sustainable business, and then the proceeds that we generate from that all go towards this cause of ending hunger. So it's really great. It's been very successful. We've been able to generate a lot of great stuff so far. We also grow food on site, so we've grown 300 pounds this season for local food pantries, and you know, been able to donate thousands of dollars, helped to start a year-round farmer's market in Ypsilanti, been able to support a lot of local efforts to end hunger, and we're really excited to ramp up this next year to do more of that. It's an area that's very close to my heart, and it's been a really phenomenal experience so far.
So who's your clientele? The poor, obviously. You want to be able to, or do you just sell beer and coffee to anybody, or are you actually targeting that demographic to come in, or are you just selling it to raise the people like me to come in and buy it and drink
it's,
so then I paid you take the money?
It's to everyone. I want to take your money for sure.
Yeah.
and I want to take all your listeners' money if they're ever in Ypsilanti. But yeah, it's just a coffee shop and a tap house. The beer and the coffee isn't the way that we solve hunger directly. Although, I guess we are giving drink to the thirsty in that regard, but
yeah.
That's not really the mission that we have. We're using this model of a coffee shop and of a tap house to raise funds, and also to raise community. We do a ton of events, and a lot of these things we tie into this issue of hunger. So we can.
What kind of events? You mean you do them at the tap house?
Yeah, so we have events all the time, every day of the week, everything from, you know, woodworking workshops, knitting nights, live music. We have jazz every Thursday, board game nights, you know, just things to bring the community together. But on top of that, we have fundraisers for local anti-hunger organizations. We have series of talks on issues of hunger in our community. And so, yeah, the calendar is pretty much packed full every day
of
the week.
That?
So, it's pretty great.
Sounds great. It's a creative idea. It's wonderful. But you've got, the Ann Arbor area, I know you're in Ypsilanti, there's just a lot of coffee houses around. Everybody's selling coffee. Ypsilanti maybe doesn't have quite as much.
Yeah. We're better than all of them. So.
All right.
No, I would say we have the best coffee in the area and definitely the best tap list. So the one thing that I was really, really set on doing is not being a nonprofit that does things poorly. A lot of times nonprofits lean into their nonprofit status and say, okay, support us because we're a nonprofit. I said, no, we're going to make the best coffee and tap house in Southeast Michigan, and I want people to be surprised when they find out. You know, they're coming here because it's the best coffee they've ever had, and then they find out it's for a good cause. So that's what we've tried.
Now, folks who are listening, how can they get in touch and get some information about it?
We have a website, cultivateipsy.org. Or on Facebook, just search for Cultivate Coffee and Tap House, and I think we're the only Cultivate Coffee and Tap House out there.
Yeah. Now, in yesterday's program, we're going to get back to your journey a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the next phase. We sort of ended your high school years and the faith journey that you were on. Let's just pick it up there and just tell our listeners about what that was like for you.
Sure. Yesterday, we had talked a lot about my own life learning about evangelism. And I had started to sense, as I was graduating from high school, this call in my heart to give my whole life to the mission of proclaiming the gospel, to serving the church as I knew it. And so I decided the best way to do this is to go into ministry. I can remember actually the very day that I kind of got this call. I had been working at a hardware store, just kind of starting off going into college, and I had had the habit of bringing with me this little pocket New Testament. And during my breaks, I would read from it. And I was reading from it one day, and I almost audible God saying, "I want you to minister." I was so struck that as soon as I got off my shift, I drove over to my church. And there was a guy there who was a youth minister. I had worked with him a lot in the past, going to youth programs and things like that. And I said, "I think God's calling me to go into ministry." And he said, "You know what? I was praying today, and I felt like God was saying that he wanted me to raise up leaders in the church." So I said, "Okay, well, let's do it then."
Yeah.
So we met together every week. Then he brought me on staff with the youth program, and I was the retreat coordinator for them and helped teach on Sunday mornings during Sunday school. And so started getting into this life of the church. So God had kind of spoken to my heart, confirmed it with this guy, and I started on the work of doing ministry from that point on.
Can I ask you, Billy, before we move on, you're carrying a pocket New Testament with you, and during breaks you'd read it. What did reading the Word of God mean to you? How did it help you? And it was so close to your heart at such a young age. What difference did it make? Because, again, here's another exhortation that's going on all the time in the church is pick up the Word of God. Read the Word of God. You know, Pope Benedict XVI, his words echo in my mind sometimes in this area. He said, it was his conviction that the daily reading of the Word of God is the secret to a new spiritual springtime for the church, he said. And so he's just sort of begging the church to kind of find the treasure of encountering Christ in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. What did that mean for you as a young man, and why was it so important to you?
We are story-formed people. The stories that we tell about our life dictate the kind of life we live. It makes sense. If we believe we're in a story that starts out once upon a time, we have an expectation that we're going to end with happily ever after. If we have a story that begins, "It was a dark and stormy night," we have an expectation for something different. If we have a story that starts out a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, it's going to be a pretty wild ride. Yeah. The story that we frame our lives with is so essential. And the scriptures give us the story of what God has done, is doing, and promises to do in the future. So for me, I think that was the key. These stories, the story of God's faithfulness in Jesus, God's faithfulness in the church, God's faithfulness through adversity, these things were the things that got me through each day. They changed my perspective when I was at work from dealing with just a customer who I was checking out or helping to find galvanized bolts, right? And made that part of a bigger story where I wasn't the protagonist, Jesus was. And I was joining him on his mission. I had an identity that was defined by these words, not by the meniality of my daily life. So that elevated my whole day in a certain sense where I found significance. I found that in the small acts of love and service, there was something of eternal significance. There was something of God's perfect will in my life that was being performed in these things.
That's really well said, I think. And there's a coherence to your life and a sense of purpose. Mm-hmm. And you're never outside that story. You're never outside that narrative wherever you are, right? It's like people think, well, I'm in the narrative if I'm in church, if I'm in the pew, or if I'm doing something directly religious, I'm somehow in the narrative. But Jesus was teaching you step by step. It's not true. I'm with you always, and where I have you every moment of every day, I'm walking with you in that journey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you were now going back to what you were saying earlier about you're meeting with your youth minister. He's beginning to mentor you or disciple you or whatever. And what were you finding out about yourself as you were engaging ministry, your own kind of gifts, passion, talent? What was the Lord teaching you about yourself?
I think early on, I learned a couple things. A, I have a passion and a desire to learn about theology. Mm-hmm. I love teaching. I love planning, you know, a lesson for Sunday morning. I loved engaging with the scriptures, being able to share that. But even more, I learned that God had given me a very strong pastoral heart, where individual people mattered a lot to me. And I started to mentor others at this point, and really came alongside. There were some people who were in high school in the area and wanted to do similar things that I had done. So I would go meet with them and talk about building Bible clubs or going back and kind of caring for individuals. And for me, at that point, this heart of caring for God's people, caring for people in the world, that started to come out as kind of one of my biggest giftings and biggest callings, that each person is worthy of love and care. And I started to have a huge heart for just the everyday person I met in my life.
Some of the people who are listening today, Billy, might be saying, you know, I don't really know what gifts I have. I don't really know what God wants me to do. How do I get started? And what would you say to them from your own experience and life?
Find somewhere where you experience life and dig into it and try something new, mm-hmm. but also developing a intentional way of engaging with the things that's great is a really powerful thing. A practice I try to do quarterly is I just make a list of everything that I love to do. And then I think about, where is God calling me to do more of this or less of this? Where does this fit in? How do these rhythms affect my life? And try to build rhythms around these things. So the Lord doesn't often call us to a ministry that's radically in opposition to what we love to do. It's often He's called us and created us to be the people that we already are in the process of becoming. Mm-hmm. So I would say, think about what are the things you love to do, and is there a way that the Lord's called you on mission with those things? Mm-hmm. If there's an interest you have, is there a way that you can engage with that interest and doing ministry? Is there a way that I would have to talk to each individual listener to know
sure.
what it is that they love to do?
Yeah.
But I know for me, it's often the passions I have. One of the reasons I started cultivating as a coffee and tap house is I am a huge coffee nerd.
Yeah.
And one of my co-founders is a huge beer nerd. So we said, well, we love coffee and beer. We would love to drink these things all day. Maybe not beer all day. That could get you into some trouble. But how can we use this passion for these things to help build a community?
It's just part of the whole incarnational principle, too, of grace building on nature. You know, mm-hmm. God created our nature, and He created us in a particular way. I always think about Eric Little from the Chariots of Fire, you know, saying, when I run, I feel His pleasure.
Yeah.
When we start stepping and experiencing, using the talents and gifts God's given to us, we really do experience a pleasure, a kind of communion with Him, because we see kind of how He's made us. And friends, each one of you listening today needs to know deep in your heart, you have a call. God has made you. You're unique. Your gifting is unique. Your calling is unique. And He wants to help you lay hold of that calling in your life so you can bear fruit and live in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. God bless you. Have a great day. I hope you can join us again tomorrow.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.